Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry. Welcome to the Kanakuk podcast. You're with Keith Chansey and Karen Chansey in the podcast room today, and we are so excited today to talk to you about marriage. This week at the Institute, it's been all about marriage, and we've been talking through some things that just kind of make your marriages a little bit better. And today, Karen and I are just kind of bounce back and forth some ideas of some things that we've done over the course of the last 38 years. Sweetie, we've been married 38 years. What do you think about that?
I don't even know what to say to that. I feel like I'm still in my 20s, but it's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been a good journey, babe.
Karen, you know, as we got started early, you know, we were 29, 28 years old when we got married. And some people would have thought that is, you know, old. What would you say was a benefit from being older when we got married?
Well, I'm really thankful for the time that we had with the Lord before we got married. I had some issues. I think you had some issues.
What? Sweetie, come on now. I had some issues.
It was good to get those clarified and, you know, worked out with the Lord before we drag all of that baggage into marriage.
You know, sweetie, I'm so thankful you said that, because one of the greatest things that happened to me growing up was, you know, began to meet some guys that began investing in my life. And that community of friends, you know, the Wagners, the McJunkins, the Polks, Townses, Skins, all these that were a part of my life growing up, they are today still very dear friends. And the beauty about that was that they all spoke into my life truth. And, you know, as a young man, you think you've got it all together, and you need people to kind of help you keep in line to the things that are, you know, the best for you, and kind of helping direct some of your energy and excitement. And I'm so thankful that I was older when I got married. Karen, what are some things that we brought into our marriage, some baggage? Let's talk about that for a minute. What were some baggages that we brought in together?
I think we always bring, you know, your upbringing into your marriage.
Boy.
And we were opposite. Your family were loud and made points very loudly. My family didn't discuss, never raised their voices. And so we had a little conflict early on in our marriage.
Were stuffers and I was a loudmouth.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. So that was kind of a collision, wasn't it?
Yeah, you kind of squashed me
early on. And I apologize. Even today, I apologize, because I know I learned it from my mama Betty. So, yeah. You know, and my sister, you know. So how did we kind of come through that? Because I remember, boy, we had some, you know, good times kind of growing up and learning how to maybe divert some of that and work through some of that, and that you wouldn't squash yourself and that I wouldn't be so loud. How did we kind of work through some of those things that you saw?
Well, it did take work. You know, I think that's one of the keys of marriage, is it does take a lot of work, and to not let things go, but to work through them. And so we have spent years working through those, still working through those.
Yeah.
But sometimes I remember we would do things in humor.
Yeah.
You know, but we made sure that if we had an issue with each other, that we went to each other in 24 hours. Otherwise, we gave it to the Lord and could not bring up a wrong suffered. But I think those were good words of wisdom.
I do too.
You know, to deal with it in 24 hours. If it's not that big of a deal, let it go. Give it to the Lord. But if it is, we have to bring it up, talk about it, and cannot stuff it and then bring up 25 things that you've done. You did this and this and this and this and this.
And that's a good point, because it's so easy for, you know, you to let something go for a day and then the next day. And then by, you know, this was on Monday, and then by Friday, you are just a crock pot and you are about to really spew over. And then you start telling, you know, 10 things that they've done wrong. And the overwhelmingness of that is that you just felt like you're such a worthless individual. And I'm so thankful we did learn and still learning how to work through those things, because you've always done such a good job of just really reiterating that we have to make sure that we don't let the sun go down on our anger. And I love what you said. Sometimes you had to go to bed taking it before the Lord. I like what you said there. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, I learned early on not to approach my husband with conflict, A, during a football game, or B, after 9 o'clock at night. It did not go well. And honestly, I'm thankful it didn't, because most of the time when I had an issue And I know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. We do the 24-hour rule because evenings were not great for you. And we could never get it resolved. It always blew up even more. Yeah. But a lot of times when I slept on it and I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be like, what was I thinking? That was not a big deal. And so I'm grateful for those times that we did that. Mm. And a lot of times it was me, you know, where maybe I was grouchy or other things were affecting my moods. But after sleeping on it, I could decide, do I need to go to him or can I give it to the Lord?
It's really amazing how a little rest does do wonders. Mm-hmm. And yet when you speak in the intensity of the moment, sometimes you say things that you regret. You know, and those regrets are oftentimes things that cause a rift in between a couple. You know, for you and I know there were times that we had rifts, you know, because we tried to resolve things at night. And I didn't really realize, me being high strung, just imagine that. You know, when it became time for bed, I was unwinding. And that unwinding, if it got wound back up, didn't go well for you or for myself. And so I even say now, just I am so sorry for those times of not understanding myself enough, you know, of how that I am high strung and to push me into a corner didn't do well. And I would say things that I regret. And so learning those things and the mechanics in which you said that were so good about us is that we would, you know, sleep on it. And then the next morning we would just begin to present it to each other and try to talk it through in a way that was more, let's talk about this.
And getting it out of the heat of the moment.
Yeah, not the heat of the moment. Yeah. That was good, sweetie. Real, real well. Well, you know, some of the other things that we've learned over the years in our marriage that I think have been so good is that, you know, we've learned how to forgive one another. What do you think we learned in that? You know, because you had to forgive your mom and your dad of some things that were said and things that you went through as a kid. Your parents, when you became a Christian, they didn't even let you read your Bible.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things going on, and forgiveness was a huge word for you to forgive them and even to forgive yourself because you're such a performer.
I have to say one thing I'm thankful for is that in the heat of the moment when we were, I'll say, discussing maybe loudly, there were very few times that we said words that we regret.
Mm, good.
Because I know that me especially can be really wounded by words. And so even though, yes, there's a lot of forgiveness in there, I'm really grateful that we did not accelerate it to a point where those words, they harm, you know, and you can't take them back. But I'm grateful that it never really got to that point. There have been some that I wish, we shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But nothing really that's sticking in my brain right now that I'm going, oh.
Because you can't bring it back up. It's over 24 hours.
It's gone.
So sorry, sweetie, that's too long now, you know. And, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, forgiving your parents, because there were some things in your family upbringing that was really difficult for you.
Sure. You know, my parents never discussed anything. My mom, I love her. We had a great relationship. It was rocky because of some alcohol issues. And really, the Lord restored the years that the locust had eaten toward the end of her life. But, you know, I don't even know that she would even know that she affected me the way she did.
Right.
And I wasn't going to bring that up. I was just going to love her and forgive her and, you know, let the Lord do what he needed to do in my life and in her life. I will tell you this, however, had she not had a issue with alcohol, I don't know where I'd be today because that drew me to the Lord.
Mm.
So in my loneliness and in my despair, I would go to my room, get my Bible out from hiding, read it under the covers with a flashlight. And my relationship with the Lord was intimate because of that. So I think sometimes in our lives when, you know, things don't go well, man, that's a perfect time to draw near to the Lord.
I love that. You know, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purposes. You know, those purposes that were difficult growing up became the very things that were awesome in life. And I'm so thankful that you grew through those because I watched you as we got married. You and I were two kids that learned how to do things differently. And then we got married for the very first time. We were asked to kind of expose those areas. And man, I was really naked before you in the sense of a lot of bad stuff I'd grown up learning. And so learning forgiveness was really, really an awesome thing for me that I had to work through. And so learning how to forgive my dad who abandoned us and abused our family, you know, but yet learning to love my dad and say, I wish he would come back home, and ask God to bring him back home. And then God does bring him home. And just watching God give me and you a hard forgiveness for him, and me a forgiveness for your mom and dad, and watching our families come to Christ was such an unbelievable thing for you and I to experience in our life. You know, Karen, talk a little bit about that for your dad, because I know your dad came to life later in life.
Well, I told the students this week that, you know, I prayed for my family from the time I was 16, from the time I came to the Lord, really until my dad came to the Lord. But, you know, they were against the Lord, and my brother was too. But he came to Christ, my mom came to Christ, and then, you know, kept praying for my dad. He was always such a loving, gracious, giving man, but just was not ready for the gospel. And what a blessing that our son Cameron moved in with him when he was 96 and loved him and served him and, you know, did his yard, picked up his leaves, did his laundry, just loved him well and shared the gospel with him. And at 97, he came to know the Lord. And 2 months later, he went to be with the Lord. So, you know, it's now, I'm not going to say that every family, you know, by prayer is going to come to the Lord. But thankfully, in this case, they did. And it was such a sweet gift.
You know, Karen, the thing that I love about that story is just, one, watching prayer in action was such a joyful thing that you and I were just praying diligently for your mom and your dad to come to Christ, and for my mom, and eventually for my dad, and family members just to really come to know the grace of Jesus Christ and forgiveness. And then watching you be so faithful and loving your dad. You know, your dad was one of my heroes. I mean, I really believe that, because I'd never seen a dad. And watching your dad just be so caring for you and want to buy you a tank of gas, or want to give you $20 every week. It was just amazing that our date nights were always because of his $20 that came to us from your mom and then your dad. And and they just continued to take care of us. And it was really sweet. Even though they weren't Christian, they had such good values. And sometimes I think we think that everybody's a Christian, but yet, you know, they need to know Jesus. And it was so exciting to see Cameron move in with your dad and lead him to Christ. And just to know that we had that, you know, that special moment with him. You know, I say to you guys as an audience today, you know, that there's so much about marriage that, you know, marriage is one of the greatest things in the world for you as a couple. But it's also something that's so great for a ministry. You know, use that for your moms, dads, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas. Because the one thing in life I can make you a promise of, you just don't want to live a life with regret, that you wish you would have said something that you didn't. It's not your responsibility to make them know Christ. It's our responsibility just to share with them the love of Christ. And so I say this to you guys today because Karen and I have learned forgiveness. We have learned how to reconcile with each other. We've learned a lot of things. But the greatest thing we've learned is that Jesus is the number one thing in our life. It is the deciding factor of everything we do. And we have these individual times together. Karen wakes up in the morning, has her own time with the Lord. I do too. Sometimes we share those things together. We pray together often. And we have just united our marriage together with just something so simple as just spending time in prayer together and thinking about some things that we could do in our family for the kingdom. Well, guys, thank y'all for joining with us today. We're so thankful to bring you some of these truths of marriage today. And we're thankful for this series we're going to go through of marriage. Hey, may God bless you and have the best day ever. Bye now.